That's how opportunities that God sends, that's how they behave.
Are you following the point I'm trying to make here?
That is, you cannot, because you don't want to miss the opportunity. He said, catch, seize that moment. Quickly do it. Listen to me. That's how men enter into error. What I'm trying to explain here is this. If indeed something was yours, sent from God, and you delayed in tapping into it, it will still wait. So if somebody told you that it was because you delayed that it went away, listen to me, it is a lie. Even if you had not delayed, it will still have gone away. That's the point I'm trying to get you to understand. I hear it said all the time. People say, if I know what I know now, many years ago, now I will be a multimillionaire. I said, wait. What you claim if you had known then? Do it now. Let's see whether in 10 years time you'll be a multimillionaire. That's when we will know the difference. Do you understand my point? The one I hear, a lot of people have told me that. That land here was being sold at 10,000 naira when I first came to Enugu. I said, did you have 10,000 naira at that time? He said, because the land now is 500,000. I said, wait now. 10,000 naira at that time was harder for you to get than 500,000 today. I hope you know. And if you are so sure of that gospel, there is still land being sold for 10,000 that will become 500,000 in a few years. Go there and go and buy. But they don't do it. What am I trying to say? It is not all those things that make a man blessed. You are following the principle what I'm saying here? Are you getting my point? That is, if God has decided that this thing is yours, it is yours. That's how opportunities are. If it is your own, it is your own. Nobody else can catch it. Are you getting my point? But let me sit on the main thing I want to say. That if somebody said compromise, step into iniquity, enter into this thing by unrighteousness, and you will get it. And you refuse, and you don't get it. And they say, Shebi, we told you. You should have done it. I'm telling you now authoritatively from the word of God that it's a lie. Even if you had compromised, you would not have gotten it. I was saying something earlier that the political situation in Nigeria and all that. Sometimes I look at governors or the people who are seeking political offices. And one after the other, they start entering into covenants and making allegiances and swearing to oaths and all that because they want to get to a particular place. Listen to this. If you are a child of God and you are stepping into anything like that, listen to this. That is, you are aspiring for a political office and they tell you that you must do this and do this and do that. There's something I want you to put in mind as you start. And that is the fact that if you did it, that if you do it and get it, you have just shortchanged yourself. Do you know why? Because you will have gotten it anyway if you had done only the right things. What I'm saying is so simple that people may not even understand it. That is, where you will have gotten to by doing iniquity is far inferior to where God wanted to take you to by doing righteousness. The only thing is that Satan tells you, I can give you now. God has prepared you to be a president in the next 18 years. Satan says, bow down, believe me, I will make you a governor tomorrow. And then men bow. Are you getting my point? And Satan gives them the governorship and they feel like, yes. But all God is saying is that this was going to be a president in another 15 years. But now he has become a governor. He can never be anything more than that. Are you getting my point? Listen, I don't have all the facts, but I've heard it again and again, and I know it to be true. That Abraham Lincoln lost almost all, not all. He lost most of the positions he ever vied for before that presidency. Are you getting my point? That this man will try for the Senate, they will defeat him. He will try for chairman of the party, they will defeat him. Then finally one, they just got up. Okay, I'm going for presidency. Then he won that one. You are getting my point? Because he was appointed by God to occupy that position. Is what I'm saying making sense to you? Are you getting my point? You know, I started by saying that, see, what you really get depends on the gates you use. And I was saying that one of the things that characterizes the gate of God is that it's very narrow. And that truth is parallel to the fact that God always starts things small. Are you getting my point? And the road that is broad, which the Bible says always ends in destruction, does not make you squeeze, does not make things difficult at any particular point in time. It does not make things difficult at any point. It just tells you, step into this and that's it. You are there. But the truth is that they are lying to you. I told you earlier that if Satan gives you something that God wanted to give you originally, what it does is that it gives you earlier than you will have gotten it, number one. But second, you don't even last in it. You don't last in it. You know, I said I wanted to start talking about what I call the servant of God. And one of the things that came to my mind when I wanted to say it, all right, when that first thing that first came to my mind, is for people to understand that there is what the Bible calls bearing your burden in the days of your youth. That it is evil for a man to run away from difficulty if he's pursuing a vision. Let me say this again. If people say that it is simpler to do this here, it is easier to do this there, go here and you'll find everything is easier, that they are giving you a satanic principle for moving in life. What am I trying to say? That God's order is that before a man can become what the Bible calls an effective high priest, he must pass through the pains and the sufferings that the people he's going to minister to are supposed to pass through. Believe me, if you're a young man, you are fooling yourself. If anybody will tell you that, you just go to Australia, go to America, work for 10 years, gather your money and come back home and set up a business, you are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. One of the things I was discussing with Pastor Annie that day was exactly the same thing. That people said, he said, if you want to start a business and they give you a huge amount of money in a business you have not done before, be sure of one thing, you will lose most of it. Listen to me. Be sure of one thing, you will lose most of it. A young man who wants to start trading and they give him 10 million naira to start is going to lose every trade he does at the beginning. Do you understand my point? I'm begging you. Paul told Timothy, he said, this is how a servant of God, a true soldier of God, this is how he moves in life. He learns to do what? Endure hardship. People tell me that they take light in Nigeria. I say light. Ordinarily, they take light. Something is wrong with your head. Because they take light. So that is a problem. Listen, the principle of success in life is that as a young man, you must learn to endure hardship. Now, please get what I'm going to say. I never said you must enjoy hardship. Enjoying hardship shows that something is wrong with you. You have a mental problem. It is not godly to enjoy hardship. Our great example, Jesus Christ, what did he do? When he saw hardship, he began to cry. Are you getting my point? He begins to sweat. You know what they call sweat? You know when a man begins to sweat? It's because there's trouble. So when Jesus saw hardship, what did he do? He started sweating. He started praying. And said, God, are you sure there's no other way? Any other gate open that is your gate? God said, no. He said, nevertheless, let your will be done. No problem. The Bible said he endured the cross. Did he enjoy it? Listen, the power to endure is something that you need. And stop going around in life mumbling as if everybody life owes you everything that you need. Are you getting my point? The power to do what? Endure. There was something that Pastor Paul, you said, I've quoted it for us before, and that thing is so true. He said, life is a war of attrition. Let us see who will wear out first. Do you get my point? That's why, listen, you can cause all the troubles you want. I am not shifting until I'm persuaded that God said it's time to shift. Why? Because what you want to do is scare me away from God's inheritance. All that thing does for me is to, like David, I run back to the gates of righteousness, which is number one key, prayer. Until I started hearing God's shots near my house, I did not pray as much as I prayed those seasons. About security. Do you understand the point I make? That is, but one thing I said is that, don't tell me Abakaliki is safer than Enugu, so I should move to Abakaliki. No, I'm not moving from here. That when I wake up in the morning, I curse the thief, I curse the arm robber. Anyone that crosses my street, may he die. Do you understand my point? That prayer protects not only me, but by everybody around me. He said, if you just go to Gabon, there are no thieves in Gabon. In fact, let us go and start ministry in Gabon. Are you getting my point? Listen to me. Until God says it is time to move out, I am not going. Why? Because it's a war of attrition. That is who will endure to the end. That is the person that will be saved. You are getting what I'm trying to say here? So all this noise of that, you know that in Nigeria, nothing works. Come to that UNTH stuff. Nothing is working. And I say, listen to me. Things don't ever work. People work them. Have you ever seen anything that has a mind of his own? Are you getting my point? Have you ever seen anything that has a mind of its own? The discussion I reported to you, I had with a young man one day in my office. He said that, do you consider your friend, your colleague, who practices in London, having an advantage over you? I said, in doing what? Explain it. Is it in attending to my patients? Because there is no advantage. Why? He has not carried my patients to him. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, the issue is the amount of service I deliver to the people I'm serving. Remember my story I told you when I first came to Enugu and I taught a number of very, very ignorant medical students. I taught them pathology. They were repeating the exam. And one of them, after learning and passing, went abroad, went for electives and came back and said, sir, you are too intelligent to be here. In fact, I think you should go there. I sat in my office, I was looking at her that day. In short, people like you, you're just wasting away here. In fact, what you should just do, just pack your load and go over there. When she finished, I said, when I have gone, all the ignoramuses like you, what will happen to them? I gave her those words like that. I said, when I would have gone, the ignoramuses come in after, like that, just like when I met you, what will happen to them? Then I condemned them to their darkness. She? To go and teach people that to them, I'm 2 for 10 kobo. You know by 2 for 10 kobo? Pathologists go, pathologists come. Nothing spoil. That if you die today, they replace it tomorrow morning. There are enough people on the queue to take over your seat. I was explaining something that this is what characterizes a servant of God. That he learns to do what? Endure hardship. I'm not saying you enjoy hardship. Do you understand my point? You think I like it when every night in my house, you have to go and draw generator. Thank God I have young... when my brother is around, I used to be very happy. Because then I always had light. You know why? Before NEPA takes light, he has gone to put on my generator. And I thank God, every day I thank God that at least I have generators. Not just generator, I have generators. Different sizes. The only trouble I have is how to go and start them. But if he's not around those days, God, it was a headache. You think I enjoyed it? Me too, I don't want him to take my light. I don't want him to take my light. But I will not because... they will not take my light. I will deny the whole of Eastern Nigeria the power of the words I'm preaching right now. God forbid. How will my children be blessed? I've told you that your righteousness is the seed for your children's future, not the passport you give them. Are you hearing my point? He said, mark is right, the righteous man. His seed will be mighty on the earth. And I've told you, righteousness is not there. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness. That thing is a grammatical incongruency. Which, that English, all right. The English is not congruent. He that doeth righteousness, the Bible says he is righteous. There are things you do. I was telling you about my own version of the miracle of seed faith. Remember what I said that time about spiritual economics? That I refused to buy stocks until I understood that it is not a matter of your tomorrow is secure. It is a matter of you cannot pray effectively for a land you are not ready to risk your money for. Do you understand my point? There's something happening right now in UNN. Our vice chancellor. He said everybody should donate money to the campus. Oh, you haven't filled? Okay, see. Now, you understand the principle. In UNN has problem. Some people are gathering every day, casting out demons. Like, they do that a lot in UNTH. They will gather. One day, one man came and said maybe they made covenants with some people to spoil UNTH before. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's good to gather, all right, and pray for your establishment. But when the vice chancellor brought out the form and said, please donate money, we want to start a kind of fund for powering research and development in the university, apart from money we get from federal government, we will look for money everywhere, but first let's take from our staff, and everybody should please give. So you see, some people say, okay, 2% of my basic salary, 10% of my basic salary over the next 2 years. I've not filled my own form. Now that I'm preaching, I should remember. Because I must. It will be iniquity for me. If I forget to fill the form, I'll write a check and go and give them. Then, Mike, just like you did.
What I'm saying is this. No matter how hard you pray for that campus, if you don't give a dime, your prayer is emptiness. You know, prayer is very cheap. I have noticed that thing. Prayer is the easiest thing for Christians to do. Especially when they claim they can speak in tongues. You know the word I use? When they claim. So the guy needs to be doing is pacing up and down. He's not saying anything. He knows. I know. God knows. The angels know. He's not saying anything. That's why James said, short your prayer. Put your hand in your pocket. Are you getting my point? Let no friend pray for you who will not give you anything when you are in need. Those prayers are empty. The Bible says there is what is called the effectual fervent prayer. Amplified uses the word heartfelt. That is the matter is touching you. You are being touched with the feeling of the infirmity. Are you following the point I'm making here? Anyone said, Pastor Banky, we are praying for Kingdom World Ministries. If all you do for Kingdom World is pray, make sure you are completely broke. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Yes, if all you do for Kingdom World is pray, then make sure you are absolutely broke. Because if you are not perpetually broke, then please don't pray. Say, look, how much do you pay for radio? Say, okay, out of that, I have only 0.5%. Are you getting my? How would you like your father to come and meet you? Say, I'm praying for you. This one that you're in school, you will do well. And he goes home. You go hold in trousers and say, waiting. Didn't you come home with anything for the boys? Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? There's a principle behind that thing, the servant of God. Their servants, they have to learn to endure with their master. Are you getting my point? Their life is not a matter of enjoyment. There is something you are supposed to impact into this life. There was something I was saying earlier. Let me not forget that train of thought. So if a man go and gather money, say, give a man to start business, he will lose most of it. He will lose most of it. But you know what he starts with? He starts with a passion, diligence, discipline, and no money. That's the best way to start business. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Passion for what you want to do, diligence, and what? Discipline. And above all, no money. If you ever read Robert Kiyosaki, he said, that's how it started. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I say no money, what do I mean? If he wants to sell maybe phone or a recharge card, first he has to use prayer. This is the servant of God I'm talking about. He has to use prayer to allow somebody to take one brick on credit. That is, as he's selling, he'll collect his commission. Then he will park the money until he cannot buy one brick for himself. Then he buys the first brick, they probably allow him to take 3 bricks. My friend, chairman, was saying something the other day. He said one of the things that he enjoyed, that these are businesses, it's a matter of integrity. That there are banks he goes to, he doesn't give them collateral, he just says, this amount of money I need. They just sign and give him the money. Because they know he always pays back. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if he has a serious business to do, he looks at this, this is a sure business, and this business is good. He walks to the bank and says, I need this amount of money now. No collateral for them. Why? Because his name is his collateral. They know him. Are you following my point? They know him. So they give him the money. He'll go away and go and spend their money. And then they know their money will come back. That is more important than having large capital to start something. Narrow is the gate that leads to enduring prosperity. That's what I'm trying to say. Are you following my point? Let me begin to round up what I'm saying today. Remember where we started from? That David said in Psalm 118, he said that there are different gates, and that's what I'm emphasizing, that the gate of righteousness is the gate of God, and that gate, things are tight in it, and that it is pure spiritual irresponsibility to depart away from the gate of righteousness because it is tight. Are you following me? And that what makes one a servant of God indeed, the one that is ready to walk with the Father, is that he learns to do what? Endure hardness. I need to use Christians, and not only, well, Christians basically. Because people generally need to understand this, but more importantly, those who claim to be children of God, you must understand this. That the fact that something is tight is not the reason to depart from it. Are you following my point? I remember this was a very simple example, but it happened so recently. Those is when I finished youth service and we're going to start residency. Everybody wondered how we were managing. That's it, you see salary. They say, I remember one judge. This guy is a high court judge, I think, in Abuja. He came to visit my cousin's husband then. He's a very close family friend. So when they were talking, I told him how much I was earning in a month. And the man told me flat that I couldn't be telling the truth, that I was then telling him that I was lying. And at that point, I was literally earning 6,000 naira a month. You know why he said so? I'll tell you. He had chronic sinusitis. That's why I came to Lagos. Went to a co-hospital for operation. And his bill for the surgery was 36,000 naira. That is, I, a resident doctor, couldn't pay for that surgery. The hospital where I worked before them, before I was doing one local, I was working somewhere before I started residency, and I continued working for them for some time before I now resigned and faced my job squarely. And then I was being paid 6,000 naira a month. Then when they did appendectomies, they charged their patients 25,000 naira. The standard salary that Lute was paying, that's nationwide though, was paying, was 6,000 naira to a resident doctor. We enjoyed it, right? Not lie. All we did was do what? Endured hardship. People say, no, private practice is the deal. But I said, private practice will not make you a pathologist. No matter how much money you make as a private practitioner, you will not become a specialist. Are you following my point? You have to go. And so, unfortunately, in quotes, the only way to where we wanted to go was hard and narrow. So, by the time we finished, the same people said, man, you guys were wise. I'm not joking. That is, people who said that, how are you coping? They now come and say, man, you guys were wise. So then you go and look for him. Maybe like when I came to Enugu, it was a topic of discussion that this man can't be this old and be a specialist. That he's too small to be. That's the idea. Now, how old is this boy? Are you getting my point? No, don't think it was only me. Many of my class, but then, to accomplish that, we had to do what? Endure what? Hardship. I remember one day I went to go and teach in a revision course. Then, of course, Enugu, they had not seen, apart from Professor Enugu, they had not seen a pathologist in a very long time. So every course that needed to be, that was being taught in that UNTH, the pathology section, I had to teach it. So then I went to go and teach in ONG. They were doing a revision course, ONG. So I was supposed to teach two topics. So it was a Saturday. So I came in, I think the only pair of jeans I had in recent times, a big shirt on top of it, and a pair of sandals. So I walked into the hall. So I just went to somebody, I'm Dr. Lish, I'm supposed to teach you guys pathology of the female genital tract and this and that. And the guy, they looked at me like. And someone started laughing. This is not a joke. They were laughing. So, I just looked around. You have a marker. Yeah, I just picked, I think either a marker or a piece of chalk. And that's how I teach usually. I teach from my head, you know. I just talk. It's usual with me, whether it's Bible or class. And that's just the way I'm used to teaching. So as I talk. So, you know, for the first 5 minutes, they were not listening. They were talking. Like, what is this one looking for here? He should be taking this revision with us. What is wrong with him? You know, but you know, God is good. God is good. Amen. After 5 minutes, the whole class was quiet. You know why? The stuff was flying out too fast. I was discharging. I said, look, sorry, I don't have to have only 2 hours. One thing after the other. I was right here. But then, of course, they had prepared them. I was supposed to give them notes. I said, I'll bring the notes. And I made the notes. I'll tell you why I made the notes. I was very happy to make the notes for them. Because that day, we didn't have money. Was still living in the guest house that time, and I left the house. Told my wife, let me go and teach a course, I'm coming. I think, is it GSM had come that time? No, GSM hadn't come. I don't think GSM had come. So when I finished, literally, this is not a joke, when I finished, the whole class erupted in an ovation. Literally, no, not a joke. Of course, as soon as I walked out, one of my classmates at university came out and said, "Ah, oh boy, what are you doing?" I said, "Ah, what did you do?" He was taking the course. I was teaching the course. He was my classmate on campus. They were amongst people who said that, "Man, you boys were wise." You know, it is not a matter of you were wise. Are you following my point? It is not a matter of you were wise. That is, when you are squeezing through the gate, you are very foolish. Then when you have finally gotten to the other end, and different people have appeared that came by different gates, they start looking very wise. Now, but I told you why I was very happy to make the note. I thought 2 hours when I was going. That was year 2000, Abby. Yes, I thought 2000, 2001. But I came to Enugu in 2000. The man coordinating the course just called me and said, "Please, he has to leave." So he brought out an envelope and gave me my honorarium for the two lectures. And I counted. It was 8,000 naira. Yay. The Lord is good all the time. That's why. So he said that they would like to have notes for the. I said, "No problem. Is it notes you want? Just wait. I sat down and made a detailed, two detailed notes for each of the hour. For 8,000 naira, why won't I write notes for you? I will write anything you want to." Now, what I'm explaining by all of this is this. As a servant of God, as a true minister of God, what you have to learn is what, how to do what? Endure hardship. Do you follow my point? Hardship is, that's why it says the road is narrow and straight. This word in King James, when it's used, was straight. Straight means that it's tight. Do you get my point? It is tight. To go through it, it is tight. You will scratch your shoulder trying to maneuver through that gate. And listen, that is what makes you an effective high priest. Listen to what I'm saying. That is what makes you what? An effective high priest. God did not bring a high priest who had not suffered like his brethren. I was teaching them at Ungo yesterday. I said, Jesus was born in a manger. Is it because God didn't know how to build a house for a servant that was coming? After all, ordinary Elijah. God stirred up the heart of a widow. And she remembered to build a house specially for him. How much more Jesus Christ? God was announcing in the heavens that he's coming. They were seeing stars in different parts of the world, knowing he's coming. Is that not so? God forgot to build, to even reserve, not even build, just reserve room. Just to go to the hotel, to the ward, the maternity ward, and say, "Please, there's one young woman who's coming. And, you know, angels keep any other woman. In fact, no labor in Israel this night. Any labor that's supposed to occur in Israel this night, shut all the wombs. They won't deliver until tomorrow. So all the midwives and the obstetricians will be idle, ready to take this delivery." God didn't do that. God seemingly forgot. You're getting my point? And they made sure all the rooms were full. You know why they went to the manger? It was an emergency. The way you run to casualty in emergency, they ran to a manger just for shelter. You know why God did that? He said he had to be like his brethren. So God looked at the lowest part and said, "Go and give birth to him amongst the animals. It can't be worse than that." Are you getting my point? So he came as low as was possible. That is why he's an effective high priest. Are you getting what I'm saying? The way to make it in business, like I said, is to scratch from the beginning. Start small. That is, the only reason you will stay there is because you believe that I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Listen, I'm persuaded of this. There is nobody who did not endure hardship that will amount to anything in life. Are you getting my point? That's why all the big men you hear of, they always tell funny stories. There's something you wonder, that is that God does not bless those who were rich? No. It's not as if he doesn't. But what he does is this. Listen, every time he gives a young woman the opportunity to make a choice to become a servant of God or just to keep on enjoying life. You're not getting my point? That is, he will take Joseph and sell him into slavery to deliver him away from the wealth of his father. that Joseph now had to learn how to serve in the house of Potiphar. Let me ask, when I see somebody enduring hardship, I don't mean he must be born of very poor parents. And not, no, you can be in the house of the rich man and be the son that serves. You don't understand that point? The prodigal brother, the prodigal son, the brother. What did he say? He said, all these days I have served thee. Neither have I transgressed any of your commandments. When they were doing party, he was just coming back from the field. You are not getting the point. That this party was evening, right? When they were rolling out the drums and killing the animals, he wasn't around. When he came back, it was obvious this guy came back home late. Where was he coming from? He was coming from the fields. He was coming from the fields. That is, even in the house of his rich father, he was enduring what? Hardship. Bill Gates said something very interesting. He said, does he want to wreck his children with money? So he plans to give out all the money. He'll give them small things and then send them away. And then dash the money to the rest of the world. Because that is a bad disservice to do to your children, to just give them this amount of money. They will just collo for head. But you know the interesting part? It's just that he made money very early. Now, if he had the child, all right, and the child had been with him, and he will know the child that have endured and will not go crazy under that weight of wealth. In fact, while he's still alive, the guy will be managing the money. He will see no reason to dispossess him of all the good works he could do with it. Look, let me close. This is our time to close. The point I have made today is this. It's simple. The way to enduring prosperity is simple. Enter by the difficult gate. The way to enduring prosperity is to enter by the gates of righteousness. You are following my point? That is, the way to enduring prosperity is to enter as the son that serves, is to learn to endure hardship as a true soldier of Christ. That was what Paul wrote to Timothy. I hope you've learned a thing or two today. All right, let us pray.